Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So let's update you what we're doing today on the show. We're giving people a chance to win a Slugger bobblehead doll. All you need to do is tell us your best I lost my wallet story. Why are we doing this today, you may ask? Well, if you missed Inside the NBA yesterday, here's what Sir Charles had to say.
Can I give a shout out? It's important.
Yeah, yes.
I want to give a shout out to a guy. He's a Georgia Bulldog.
Hey.
His name is Matt Powles. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I lost my wallet today, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Powles, P-Y-L-E-S, I hope I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah.
He got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle. Yeah. And I didn't even know it.
You still carry a wallet?
Yeah.
Are you like the only person in the world that still carries a wallet?
Yeah. Ernie, why are you going to tell my story?
We use a wallet.
Chipotle.
That's real fat. You know that?
Kenny, do you carry a wallet?
Matt, I have, hey, you're a Georgia Bulldog. Thank you, Georgia Bulldog.
I have a
Bulldog.
Wallet some days, and then some days I just use my.
Shaq, you carry a wallet?
I have a badge, sir.
Okay.
Wait, nobody carries a wallet but me?
Yeah.
I do carry it some days, but some days you don't need.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, hey Matt, meet me at the spot where we talked about. We gonna finish.
So that was the conversation yesterday on Inside the NBA. So we are compiling the best I lost my wallet stories. If you are the winner, we will give you a free Slugger bobblehead doll. We're here to spread some Royals cheer as the Royals have lost 9 of their last 10 games. Rob, you are the gatekeeper of all of the wallet stories. Give me some of your favorites.
We have 3 that have made the list real quick. From the 913, someone lost their wallet when they were in Arizona for spring training. They were not able to get on the airplane to leave spring training. They had to wait 3 hours and correctly guess their dad's birthday, so they were eligible for the flight. A year later, they were alerted that the stadium had found the wallet. He then flew back to Arizona, and the Royals allowed him to be a ball boy at a spring training game, get his wallet back, where he met several prominent Royals, including Moose, Gordon, and Whit Merrifield.
Okay, all right, strong entry. All right, let's hear what the other two are.
Real quickly, there are 2 from the 913. A person was in college. He lost his wallet at the Hawk in Lawrence, went back to his house and was telling his parents. That conversation did not go well. Later, while at his parents' house, a package arrived from Lawrence, and it had the wallet inside with a note that said, "Hey, I found this at the Hawk. I hope you have a great day, and go Jayhawks." Obviously an elite story.
I don't like that one.
Our final one that has made it so far, continue to plug in your entries. A person lost his wallet. He went to a wedding and ended up spending the night at his date's house. When he spent the night at his date's house, he had put his wallet in his dress shoes. The next morning, he left. He did not put his dress shoes on. He carried them. He got home, put the dress shoes in the shoebox, closed the shoebox. Later realized he does not have a wallet on him. He searched and searched, never found it. 2 years later, he had another wedding, opened the shoebox, and found said wallet.
Okay. I would pick the ball boy story of all of these.
Ball boy story is going to be real strong.
I would take the ball boy story. Out of those 3, that's the one I think should advance to the next round. Do you have any issues with that?
I think we can delete out the other 2. I'm sorry. I liked the walk of shame lost in the shoes, but that can't beat ball boy.
Yeah, the ball boy story is a really good one. So 913-576-7610. If you have a very good I lost my wallet story, text it in. We'll continue to go through them over the course of the day, and at the end of the day, we'll give somebody a Slugger bobblehead doll. Coming up in a little bit, I am watching 80s movies that I have never seen before. I watched Back to the Future earlier today. It is on Netflix if you want to check it out for yourself. They actually are taking it off Netflix on June 30th, so you still have a couple of more weeks if you actually want to watch it, Back to the Future, for yourself. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. So I saw a tweet that caught my eye earlier today from Adam Schefter. Bill Belichick spoke with the media today about Cam Newton and said, quote, "Cam's way ahead of where he was last year at this time. There's no question about that." I think Cam is probably one of the most interesting players this year into the NFL. I think that last year was about as poor of a showing that you can have if you're Cam post-COVID. Now, Cam was fantastic before he caught COVID. That also wasn't a pretty prolonged period of time. But when he got back, because you remember, he missed that Chiefs game. He then came back, and Cam was bad last season. The Patriots have done a lot this year to put more talent and resources around Cam. One thing the NFL is, we talk a lot about it being a quarterback league, and it certainly is a quarterback league. It's also a resources and playmaker kind of league. And last year, I don't care how good of a quarterback you are, they don't have good weapons. So this offseason, it was a complete overhaul from the Patriots to try to improve some of the weapons on the outside. Now, I don't think they signed many great weapons. We'll see how Jonnu Smith looks. We'll see how Hunter Henry looks. But I don't think they got any great weapons this year. But there's no question from a talent standpoint, the Patriots are a much better roster this year than they were last year. So to me, it puts a lot of the onus on Cam to go be better than he was last year. They drafted a quarterback in the first round that's going to be looking over your shoulder, and we know most franchises are looking for a reason to replace the veteran, to put in the young gun. So we'll see when Mac Jones finally gets an opportunity to start for the New England Patriots. But Cam being good can prolong that and maybe keep him in the league a little bit longer. With the way Cam looks, I don't know if Cam's going to be a starting quarterback in this league for too much longer. It was painful to watch Cam Newton wind up and throw the football. He looked like a 65-year-old man winding back to throw on a lot of those passes. And if he's not going to have the arm strength that he had anymore, and he was never a great passer, but he got a little bit more accurate as time progressed. If he doesn't have that anymore, he's also not going to be one of the best running threats in the NFL. What are we doing here with Cam Newton? It's probably time for you to move on. So we'll see sort of what the plan's going to be for Cam Newton this year. But I look at him as he's hanging on a string. There's a couple of quarterbacks this year that if anything goes left for them, you can see their fan base turning on those guys pretty quickly and the organization also moving on. I think Cam's at the forefront of that. I would say Drew Locke is at the forefront of that. I think Locke is going to start this year for the Broncos, but you don't bring in a guy like Teddy Bridgewater if at a moment's notice you're not ready to go about face and change course and switch quarterbacks. I can see the Drew Locke experiment if the Broncos get off to a rough start and they're, let's say, 2-4 the first 6 weeks of the season, and they're looking at that roster as they're drowning a little bit and they need a little bit of a spark. I can see them being an organization very quick to jump ship and quick to move on from Drew Locke and make that proclamation to everybody. Locke isn't our quarterback anymore, and we're ready to move on. Rob, can you see a scenario in which the Giants do that with Daniel Jones, or you think he's pretty entrenched in being the starter for that team?
I think he's entrenched at least for this season. I'm interested to see what the long-term thing is. That division's wide open, and they've gone out of their way to give him weapons. I mean, they got Kenny Golladay. They added some more people. So they've kind of said, you're the guy. Here are the keys. Go make it work. He's entering year three. If it doesn't work in year three, then you probably don't pick up that fifth-year option. You probably don't extend him long-term, and you're bad, so you've been getting kicking the tires on a quarterback again. Kind of the situation the Broncos were in, albeit with a first-round pick. But if Daniel Jones isn't doesn't at least appear to be the guy, or at least a Ryan Tannehill type, I think the Giants eject at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, we'll certainly see kind of how they play it. We'll kind of talk some more younger, prove-it quarterbacks over the course of the day. I kind of want to go through some of the QBs who really need to step it up and really need a good season to kind of get themselves back in good standings. I mean, Cam's had a great career. I don't think Carolina did a good job at putting the necessary parts around him. He made the most out of, I would say, an average situation, got that team to a Super Bowl, won MVP. He was one of the stars of the league, but his body appears to be breaking down. It's been a long time since we've seen consistent, good, healthy Cam Newton. This is a really important year for him moving forward. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. I have been watching 80s movies every morning. Today, I watched Back to the Future on Netflix. I'll give you my review next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I watched Back to the Future this morning, and Rob, I sat there the whole movie waiting for the, or I'm going, we don't need roads line. And it was the last line of the movie. Now, I only know that line from Knocked Up. You remember where they're in Vegas and they say that line and they're like, what are you talking about? Doc Brown, the DeLorean? You've never seen Back to the Future before? Well, I've now seen Back to the Future. And let me tell you, Rob, this was my favorite movie that I've seen so far. I really enjoyed Back to the Future. Now, this is the thing, Rob. How would you describe the plot to that movie as someone who has never seen it before? Because I remember you telling me about the storyline, and then whenever the storyline kicked in, that is a weird movie. That's not a movie I don't know if could be made in 2021. The plot of the movie is he tries to convince his mom to go out with his dad, but his mom is not interested in his dad because she's interested in her future son. Very weird plot for a movie. It ended up working, though. It was entertaining. It was fun. But that is a weirdo movie.
I told you yesterday, I'm like, I think you'll like it. I worry about how it holds up in 2021. As someone who has not seen it, I was worried about it, but it's good. You're right. It's weird. At no point in the movie does his, or we assume in the years after he returns to the future, his mom never pieces together, hey, that guy I had the crush on instead of your dad looks exactly like you. Never pieced that together. That's odd to me.
She didn't piece it together until she kissed him at the end of the movie. Then she was like, it was like kissing a family member. Yeah, that's your son. Okay, so I wrote down these notes. It was funny because as I'm watching it, the first 20 minutes, I actually thought it started kind of slow. I'm like, what in the world is this movie about? And then from the moment he meets Doc Brown, or we meet Doc Brown, until the end of the movie, I really, really enjoyed it. And everything that I watched for the first 20 minutes, I would say then in the next like 15 to 20 minutes, it explained itself. I'm like, oh, okay. I get what they were trying to do in the first 20 minutes of the movie. I will say this. Now, I don't know all the history when it comes to this 80s stuff, but I can't think of any movie that had as much product placement as that movie. They had the Diet Pepsi clearly in display. They kept showing that he was wearing Nikes and that JVC camcorder. You want to know the first time that I'm like, all right, well, how does this work? When he hooked his camcorder up to a TV in 1955. I'm like, all right, you want me to believe that he time traveled? Okay, I'm willing to ride with you on this. I'm not willing to ride with the fact that he hooked his camcorder from 1985 into his TV in 1955. You can't do that now with any of the stuff. That part didn't make sense to me. That's neither here nor there. Rob, I will say, though, one of my few complaints about this movie, because I did really enjoy it, is racism was very palpable during this time. There ain't that many black people in this movie. They did call one of the black people colored. The other black people got called spooks. That did happen in Back to the Future. Remember the band? They're sitting there, and they like, he said something spook. And I was like, y'all should have whooped their ass. That's what I was thinking, but that ain't what happened in the movie. I'm not going to lie to you. So the one scene where his dad is doing the whole peeping Tom routine, right? Where he's like up in the tree and he's looking. And then he falls out of the tree. And then I can't remember the kid's name now at the top of my head. Marty, that's who it is. Marty. Marty then pushes his dad out of the way of the car. I literally was like, he changed the future. It was like the plot became real to me at that point. I was like, oh, he changed the future. You can't do that. Because his dad was telling the story of how he met his mom. And I'm thinking, I knew right then. Like, well, how is your dad going to meet your mom if you pushed him out of the way? That's not how it works. So that part was really cool. The scene in the very beginning, I actually thought was probably the best scene in the whole movie. Like from a movie standpoint, where he's at the bar at the diner. And then he's sitting there and he's talking to that guy and he realizes that guy is his dad. And a lot of the things that he had been taught, he realized then at that moment where he had learned it from. I thought that was like a really good scene, because then Biff comes over and then Biff is clearly a loser and Biff is bothering his dad. And then he's like, well, you got to, he's like trying to give his dad a pep talk and advice and all that kind of stuff. And then that's when the diner guy comes over there. Like, you can't let him push you around. Biff sucks. Absolutely sucks. I'm sure this is a universal opinion, but Biff is terrible. You know who Biff grew up to be? Buzz from Home Alone. That's who he grew up to be. Just terrible. I hated Biff's character. I was happy whenever all the bad things in the movie happened to him. So they want me to believe that Marty McFly invented skateboarding and rock and roll. That's what they want me to believe. He invented both of those things. Skateboarding and rock and roll. But you know what? I really enjoyed this movie. This was a fun family movie. I loved it. I'm giving Back to the Future, I'm giving it a 9. That's the best movie I've seen in this whole thing. I loved it. I don't know who else they cast to be Doc Brown. Christopher Lloyd is the perfect person to be Doc Brown. His eccentric character, I loved him. I loved Marty McFly. I love the storyline. I love the message behind Back to the Future. I actually thought the special effects really held up. I really liked this movie. This is the first movie, I guess, aside from Top Gun, but there's not like, people kept saying there's a Top Gun 2. I'm not that interested in watching Top Gun 2. I do want to see Back to the Future. If it continues the movie that I just watched, and I know he gets those hyper dunks in the second movie, sign me up. I'm down to watch Back to the Future 2. To hell with Goonies. I'm ready to watch Back to the Future 2. I really liked that movie from start to finish. I'm giving that movie a 9. I liked it more than Top Gun. I did like it more than Top Gun.
I mean,
they're like very different kind of movies. But Back to the Future to me was fun the whole way through. I didn't really love Top Gun the way that everybody else did for the first hour of the movie.
I like Top Gun better. I think if you watch Back to the Future 2, I think you'll walk away with this thought. Why did we have Back to the Future 2? I know the text line loves it. I don't love it like that. And the Back to the Future 3 is just big trash. But if you want to bump those down and move to Back to the Future 2, we can do that on the list. We can make that work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with going off the board here and just watching something else, and we can decide if maybe Goonies is the movie to watch now after Back to the Future with how much I liked it. But I really enjoyed Back to the Future. I really liked it. Like, once you get over the plot and just like the whole concept of the movie, but I even think that was like really funny. Like him trying to go back and him trying to like talk to his dad and boost his dad's confidence. And then at the end, how it came full circle, how his decisions helped impact his future. Like his parents' lives were different because he changed the past. I thought it was really cool. And the way that it sets up too, like it's clear they make a sequel. Like even if I didn't know, it was clear in how one ended, they were going to make another movie. I loved it. I want to see what happens now with him and his girlfriend in the second one. She wasn't in the movie enough. I'll say that. She wasn't in the movie enough. I'm giving back to the Future a 9. A strong 9, too. Really, really enjoyed it. So really quick, Rob, give people all the movies that are on our list. And I will watch Goonies today, but I'm excited to watch Back to the Future, too. I'll just watch that on my own time.
Here is the list outside of Goonies, which you will watch today. We got Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Ghostbusters, E.T., which we've discussed taking off, but E.T. remains on there for now.
I might take off Ghostbusters for Back to the Future, too.
I think you'll like Ghostbusters, but E.T., Uncle Buck, Weekend at Bernie's, Airplane, Fletch, When Harry Met Sally, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, St. Elmo's Fire, Goonies, which is coming up, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay, so I'm watching Goonies tomorrow morning. I'm going to watch Goonies. And for Thursday, what movie? Let's do a comedy. Let's do a comedy Thursday. Because I kind of feel like we're on this like sci-fi kind of kick right now with Back to the Future. So let's go comedy. What comedy do you want me to do for Thursday's show?
I would suggest Airplane or Uncle Buck. Those are my suggestions for comedy.
I'll do Uncle Buck.
Okay.
I'll do Uncle Buck.
I believe Uncle Buck was written by the same people who did Breakfast at Tiffany's. Not Breakfast at Tiffany's. No. Breakfast Club. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. Cool. I'm in there. Is it like universally known that Steven Spielberg is the greatest director of all time? Is that like everybody has this opinion?
It's either him or Scorsese. That's kind of the general consensus.
Okay, I just was making sure. Because I was just like, oh, Spielberg did this? Oh, okay. I think I knew that, but just seeing it at the very, very beginning was, I think that was the big thing. Someone said, how have you never seen Back to the Future, Goonies, or any of these other 80s classics? You don't have a TV growing up. Well, I was more of like a 90s Nickelodeon kid. I also am kind of happy I wasn't watching the movie as a kid where they were calling black folks spooks in the movie. I could see why that wasn't a movie played in my home as a young boy. If I said Ghostbusters off the list, I apologize. I'm in E.T. I'm perfectly fine with watching Ghostbusters. I don't have any interest in watching E.T. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have any interest in watching that movie.
It's a Spielberg movie.
Oh, he made it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got to watch it then. I got to watch it. Why don't you tell me? Spielberg made E.T.?
I'm 90% sure. Let me double check.
Has he just made every good movie ever?
Internet in here is moving fast. E.T. E.T. was made by Steven Spielberg, directed. There you go.
All right. Spielberg just made every... He's made every movie.
And it's got Drew Barrymore in it.
You think Scorsese's second behind Spielberg in terms of directors?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Scorsese doesn't miss.
Okay, all right. I'm just curious to know. All right. Where are we putting Christopher Nolan? Is he like the best from this era?
Probably. His recent run hasn't been great. I didn't love Tenet. I didn't love Dunkirk. I thought that movie with Matthew McConaughey he made where the name is escaping me. I forget what the name of that one is. I didn't think that was very good. Okay. I mean, he had a great run. I don't think he's had a hit in a while. I mean, technically Tenet was the biggest hit in theaters last year, but come on, that's cheating.
Okay, I'm just wondering. Some people are saying Airplane. I'm kind of familiar with Airplane. I'd be surprised if I didn't like Airplane. Hold on. Who has a better movie career? Tarantino or Christopher Nolan?
Tarantino by a little bit, but he didn't have like a huge volume of movies, so it's hard to like really know. Okay. By the way, Goonies, not directed by Steven Spielberg, he's the story. He wrote the story.
It. Okay, all right. Well, Spielberg is just... How is Spielberg not Jeff Bezos? Like, how is he not Bezos? It doesn't make any sense. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern will join us next. Keep it locked in right here.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm very happy to be joined by our next guest. He's one of the best baseball minds I've ever had the privilege of speaking with. He is the Royals insider. He knows this team inside and out like the back of his hand. Josh Vernier joins us on the show today. Vern, how's it going?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Vern, I loved Back to the Future. I don't know if you've seen it or not before.
Never seen it.
Or you're laughing at me with all these 80s movies. Like, how have you not seen this before? But I would advise other people to watch Back to the Future. It was good.
Yeah, I will not be doing that. And as I told you last week, I have not seen any of these movies. Every single one of them that you list, that Rob lists, I haven't seen any of them. And I have no intentions to watch them.
Next year, we got to get you to do the same thing I'm doing right now. I mean, you got to think, the Royals are going to go through their normal swoon. Like, they're going to lose 11 of 13 games. You're going to be sitting there in the second inning like, well, what do I do? They're down 9-0. You should just watch Goonies.
No, I still got to stay dialed into the game because there's still that Royals fan or two that calls in on the post-game show and still wants to dissect the X's and O's. So regardless of how bad it gets, your boy's still locked in.
Maybe it just hit me yesterday because Kent Swanson tweeted this out. They're 14-26 in their last 40 games. That, you know how you kind of look up and you're like, it's that bad? Where I feel like just a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago, they were over 500. Everybody was optimistic. You put that thing out how they were trending to win 86 games. And we were asking here on the text line of, hey, would you press the button on 84? And the text line was like, don't be an idiot. That's you being a Missouri fan. Every person listening right now would run to the button to press 84 games for this team to win.
Carrington, as I'm sitting there yesterday in the press box and I look at the lineup and I take a look at the rotation and I look at the bullpen, a lineup that is without Mondesi, without Benintendi, a rotation that's without Danny Duffy, a bullpen that's without the Josh Staumont we've become accustomed to seeing, it's hard to distinguish the difference between this team, 2018, 2019. The only difference is there's at least young talent on the team, or there's at least young pitching talent on the team. You go back to 18 and 19, it's guys like Homer Bailey and Ian Kennedy out there throwing gopher balls up there. So at least you got 25-year-olds in the rotation. But that lineup yesterday was as bad, if not worse, than the teams that we watched in 2018 and 2019. The bullpen is still nice, but it's no longer anything resembling a strength because Josh Staumont is a different player. If he's sitting 94-96, he's not an elite reliever. He could still be a good reliever, but he's not in the mix with Jake Brents, Scott Barlow, Kyle Zimmer. You have three good relievers right now. I wouldn't say that you have any good starting pitchers right now. Mike Minor's your best starting pitcher, and he's league average by the numbers. And in the lineup, you have three good hitters. That's five or six good players, man. Yeah, that's a team right now, as currently constructed, that's steamrolling towards 95 losses. But Duffy, Mondesi, Benintendi, the slumping bats of Soler and Dozier, Soler with maybe his best offensive night of the season last night, there are reasons for optimism, but you do have to dig to find that optimism.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier. We'll do Vern coming up in just a little bit. 913-576-7610. Hashtag Hey Vern, if you have a question, we'll ask it to him. I struggle with this, and Rob and I talked about this yesterday off the air. Are the Royals better or are the Royals different? Because what you're saying, I would describe as different. They certainly are different. This team feels different than in years past, but it does kind of feel like it's going to be six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, and ultimately we could end up at almost the same place that we always are with this team.
Yeah, they're different. I remember after the 2019 season, I said, man, of the 25, 26 guys on the roster, I believe that only three of them were going to be on this team the next time they won anything of note. Mondesi, Dozier, and Brad Keller. Now here in 2021, well, Salvi, we now know that he's going to be a part of the next winner in Kansas City. Dozier, Mondesi, sure, I guess we'll still put them in there. I think Zimmer and Barlow out of the bullpen can be a part of the next winner. I think Brady Singer can be a part of the next winner. I think Chris Bubich in some fashion can be a part of the next winner. So, yeah, they're different as far as they've evolved. And the approach at the beginning of the season wasn't what it was in 2018 and 19, right? We knew in 2018 and 19 that they were going to lose at least 90 games. How many more would they lose? Well, we'll just sit back and watch. That's how they're different. This was not a team that any of us expected to lose 95-plus games because there was that young talent and more on the way. So, yeah, they're different from 2018 and 19, but to the average baseball fan in the city, they're not trying to hear that. All they know is this team just can't stop losing.
I asked Rob earlier something similar to this, and he said that he thought the Royals could sort of tread water and then the young pitchers would be here around June, July, and then they could really help push things forward. I don't know if that's what's going to happen with the young pitching. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with the guys. I think it is, if you look right now at minor league baseball and the gap between AAA and major league baseball, I think we're seeing there's a lot of young pitchers that are really struggling to make that transition. But I don't know if this team can really count on getting a jolt from really anywhere, at least when it comes to the rotation. They'll probably get it with the lineup because at some point Mondesi comes back. At some point Dozier turns things around or Soler gets better and they just get healthier from where they are from the 4 through 9 in their lineup. But when it comes to pitching, I don't think this team's not really getting any more reinforcements in my mind.
Yeah, I'm done waiting for the offense because again, Benny on the IL, Mondesi on the IL, we can sit here and say, well, he'll be back and Dozier will start hitting. Well, man, we got a third of the season already behind us. I'm not doing that anymore with this offense until they prove it to me. Now, I agree on the premise with what Rob had to say back then about the young pitchers giving this team a jolt. But we also thought that when Jackson Coar and Daniel Lynch and maybe later on in September, we dreamed of Asa Lacy maybe coming in out of the bullpen, that was also a team that was led by its offense. Right, the jolt from the young pitching was going to supplement an offense that is leading the way, a bullpen that is deep and stout, and a rotation that has more than one vet. The loss of Danny Duffy, the loss of Josh Staumont, I do not think can be overly highlighted. I think it's just put this team in such a tough position where every single night your offense is well below average, one of the worst in the American League, and now you're looking at a 23, 24, 25-year-old kid with maybe 30 starts under his belt and saying, you got to hold him down because we're going to try and scratch across three, maybe four runs. We need you to limit the damage, and they're putting way too much pressure on those young pitchers that I'm with you. We're supposed to add a jolt, not be the heroes every single night. But that's what it is. Brad Keller needed to be the hero last night. Jackson Coar, Chris Bubich, Brady Singer, because of the underperformances and the injuries to this offense, these young pitchers are burdened with the pressure of single-handedly winning the game, and they're just not capable of doing that. And let's also remember that just because all four, Lynch, Bubich, Singer, Kowar, just because all four were drafted in the first round doesn't mean they're all going to work. Royals fans know that just because you're drafted in the first round, it doesn't mean that you are guaranteed success. If we're being honest, of these four starting pitchers, one of them, odds are one of them is a good starter. One of them is a good reliever. One of them is out of baseball in 4 years. And one of them is forced out of baseball because of injury. I think that there are some in the media and some in the fan base that just assume that all four of them were going to work out, and baseball and pitching just does not work that way.
To what you're saying, Vern, I completely agree. That was kind of my stance on this team a couple of weeks ago, that when you don't do things or enough things at a really high level, it then creates an unnecessary weight or burden on the rest of the team. That right now, I mean, nothing's really operating the way that it should. I saw that this month they're giving up an average of 5.8 runs per game, and then you factor in this lineup, you're just asking too many different factions of this team to exceed way above its ability, and none of it can really exceed above its ability, and that's why the Royals have found themselves in the situation that they're in. Really quick, Vern, any update on Adalberto Mondesi? I feel like every other day we get something from Mike Matheny that makes you think we're only a day or two away, and then a week will pass and we're not any closer. Are you hearing anything on Mondesi?
Well, another one of those similar updates. Today, Mike Matheny told us that watching Adalberto yesterday was the first time that Mondi looked like Mondi since going on the IL, and he kind of left it at that. But listening to Dade Moore over the weekend, I expected to see Mondesi in this series. Honestly, I expected to see him in the lineup tonight. I expect to see him tomorrow or at some point during this homestand, but, you know, you can hope in one hand and, well, you know the saying.
Text line 913-576-7610. It's time for Act Vern. Rob, hit my theme music. 913-576-7610. It's time for a little hashtag Ask Vern. Hey, Vern, with a few weeks until the All-Star break, do you see the Royals being sellers?
Right now, it's trending towards sellers, although I don't believe this team has much to offer.
I was just going to ask Minor, that. Who?
Yeah, Mike Minor, to me, would be the most obvious choice other than him. I'm not willing to part with Barlow or Zimmer. So, to me, it's... If you want Mike Minor, I'll listen. But I also could use Mike Minor next year on this team, whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen, and we got him under contract. Honestly, it's leaning towards being sellers, but I don't know how much interest you're going to garner, so it might end up being a Stan Pat trade deadline for Dayton.
Listen to this one. So this is Ask Vern. The Royals' record without Lynch or Kowar on the roster is 29-17. Their record with those two guys on the roster is 1-18. This can't be a coincidence, can it?
No. That lines up with Danny Duffy's injury. Right. Danny Duffy went down with an injury, I believe, 3 to 4 days after Daniel Lynch made his big league debut. So I think it has more to do with Danny Duffy, Josh Staumont, Kyle Zimmer, the injuries to the bullpen and the rotation more so than it does those guys speaking to how bad the offense has been all year.
Text line 913-576-7610. Hey, Vern, are you a front pocket or back pocket wallet guy?
I'm a money clip guy, and there's no cash in it. It's a debit card, driver's license, 2 credit cards, and then my key card to get me into work.
I did notice this. So earlier, so we're giving away a Slugger bobblehead for people who have their craziest I lost my wallet story. I thought everybody went wallet. I'm learning now that a lot of people are like you. They go money clip or they go phone wallet instead of the old school billfold.
I'm not good carrying cash around. I'm too eager to either spend it or give it away. It's best if I stick with plastic.
Text line 913-576-7610. We'll do a couple more minutes of Ask Vern. Hey, Vern, KFC or Popeyes?
Popeyes. Popeyes and Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. Okay, KFC, I guess I'll take the biscuit. I'll take the biscuit. I don't mind the gravy from KFC, but give me the red beans and rice and the chicken from Popeyes.
Okay, I want to play a quick game with you before we get you out of here. I am going to read you the Royals lineup from June 15th of 2018. So you know what the lineup is today.
Nice.
Which lineup do you think is better or worse? So this is the team that the Royals fielded on June 15th of 2018. Whit Merrifield, Mike Moustakas, Salvador Perez, Jorge Soler, Ryan Goings came in to pinch run for Jorge Soler that day.
Yeah.
Alex Gordon, Hunter Dozier, Alcides Escobar, Paulo Orlando, and Abraham Almonte played center field for the Royals.
18 all day. All day.
And
18 all day. Mike Moustakas is what, the third best hitter on that team behind Salvi and Witt. You know, you got Witt, Carlos, and Salvi on this one. That Jorge was better than this Jorge. That Dozier was better than this Dozier. Abraham Almonte. No, he's not the defender that Michael A. Taylor is, but he's a better bat. So as far as a lineup, yeah, give me 2018. Man, that stinks.
I just want to read to you really quickly, Vern. I know you have a busy day. I just want to read to you the pitchers this day for the Royals. So this is on June 15, 2018. Jacob Junis started. In relief, it was Tim Hill, Justin Grimm, Birch Smith, and Brian Flynn. Those were the five pitchers who took the mound for the Royals that day.
Yeah, Jacob Junis is now in AAA. Birch Smith is still somehow in the big leagues. Look, I'll take the 2000, and that team had Mondesi in the lineup, and this team, with all due respect to Nicky Lopez, has Nicky Lopez in the lineup. Yeah, give me 2018 lineup, but give me 2021 pitching staff.
You might not be that shocked to hear it. Mondesi was hurt this day in 2018, Shocker. So of course. Vern. Always good talking with you, man. I appreciate
you. All right, buddy. All right, buddy. Keep the energy up. Keep them going.
I'm going to do my best, Vern. I'm going to do my absolute best here. I appreciate you, Vern. Coming up in a little bit, we'll have another round of wallet stories. Rob, you know what we have to do at this time. We have approximately 72 seconds before we have to take a break. Rob, you know what music I need. It's time for an NBA Minute. Today is a very important day in the National Basketball Association. There is only one game tonight. It is the Milwaukee Bucks traveling to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York to take on the Nets. The Bucks are actually favored today on the road, Rob. They're 2.5-point favorites. James Harden, who has not played this series, is going to try to give it a go in game five. He has a hamstring injury. This feels like an Anthony Davis situation. AD tried to go because LeBron needed him, and we saw his mobility out there. He just couldn't give it a go. These are the most defining games for Kevin Durant since leaving OKC. If you remember, the final two games for Kevin Durant in OKC was Game 6 against Golden State. Klay Thompson played his best game of his career. And then it was Game 7, and they lost Game 7. The following year, Kevin Durant joined the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not like the Bucks have a super team here. The Bucks don't have Giannis and Jimmy Butler. It's Giannis and Drew Holiday. If Kevin Durant is the best player in the world, we'll see a best player in the world effort today. We'll see 35, 11, and 8, and he'll will his team to a victory at the crib. You can't lose this deciding game five and then claim king the way that I think KD wants to claim king. I'm fired up for it today. 7:30, TNT, Bucks and Nets at the Barclays Center, a pivotal game five. And that concludes our NBA Minute for the day. See, I can only give you a taste of the NBA. I can't give you the whole NBA. I got to just give you a taste of the NBA. Speaking of the NBA, though, coming up at the top of the hour, Charles Barkley had a story about losing his wallet on Inside the NBA. We're giving away a Slugger bobblehead doll to the person who has the best I lost my wallet story. We'll go through our favorite so far. We'll also go through three more to throw into the hopper. I also have a toss-up question. What's the worst to lose? Is it your keys? Is it your phone? or your wallet. We'll do all of that next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.